standing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great kindness to us in Jesus. We thank you for reaching out to us and making the good news known to us. And we thank you for the privilege that we have of being part of your team seeking to share that good news with others. Help us this morning as we turn to your word. Help us to understand it by your Spirit who inspired it in the first place, that we might be better equipped and have the right perspective to serve you. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, last week I heard about a community group in the East Midlands. It had been established by 11 people 8 years ago to help people who were finding life difficult, largely because of loneliness or confusion about modern technology. The small group of volunteers had offered to understand and fill in forms, give assistance in applying for benefits, and support people in mixing in the community. Well, the forum now has 800 members and has moved to a centre with meeting rooms, a cafe and offices, and has recently won a prestigious community award. Sometimes it is easy to underestimate the influence of ordinary people on others. Well, this morning we're continuing our sermon series on what it is to be a mission-minded church. And we see that as Christian people working together as a team, which is the local church, we have an influence that is easy to underestimate, but which through Christ can be significant. Over these last few weeks, we've seen how a church community is sent by Jesus into his world to serve others and to share his good news. We've seen how ultimately it is God's mission for his name's sake, focused on Jesus who came not to call the righteous but sinners. And we are to be a part of this mission as we pray and seek to be centered on the message of the cross, which though is foolishness to many, to those who come to believe is God's power to restore them to him. Well, this morning we're looking at the Apostle Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. So do turn to page 1161 of the Black Church Bibles. 1161. Paul is writing to the church community that he had been instrumental in founding some years before. Now, we saw last week when we looked at 1 Corinthians that this church was having problems because it was letting the world's values influence them in unhelpful ways. And Paul was having to address this. Well, by the time Paul wrote what we call 2 Corinthians, some new leaders making great claims had started to sway the church community, and they'd become enthralled with these men. The newcomers were saying that Paul was unimpressive, and the opposition that he'd faced from unbelievers actually questioned his authenticity as an apostle. They, on the other hand, with their powerful communication and claims to performing miracles, were the real deal. The Corinthian Christians should no longer listen to Paul, but rather listen to them. Well, one of the purposes behind the whole letter is that Paul has to make clear that he is a genuine messenger apostle. He knows that it is not because of him himself, but because of God's hand on his life. As he puts it in verse 17, "Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ." So Paul was bringing the true message of Jesus, and the church mustn't move away from it. He had been sent by God. His apparent unimpressiveness was not actually a sign of inauthenticity, but rather genuineness, because the message of the cross of Jesus was more apparent with him than it was with these new, seemingly impressive super apostles. Well, in the first two chapters, Paul has explained to the Christians about the challenges and difficulties that he's faced in his work as Jesus' apostle, the opposition to the gospel, the criticism from those who should have known better, the emotional pain of difficult pastoral situations. Then, as if to balance his perspective, he strikes a more positive note, emphasizing how God has enabled him to keep going in making Jesus known, despite the difficulties. And as he does this, we find principles for ourselves which can help us as we think about what it is to be a mission-minded church. So the first thing to notice is that Jesus is leading us to ultimate success in his mission. Just look at verse 14. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Now Paul uses an image. It was one that would have been familiar to his readers, and that is the image of a victory parade known as a Roman triumph. Now, 2012 will, of course, always be remembered by many of us for the London Olympics. And locally, many rejoiced in what I think was the first gold medal won by someone born in our region, Luke Campbell's gold in the boxing. Well, in August, Luke returned to his hometown and was accompanied by many thousands of cheering people as he appeared on the balcony of the City Hall. Well, back in the first century, on a much larger scale, and accompanied by impressive ceremonial, a Roman military victory in a foreign land was celebrated by a triumphal procession back on the streets of Rome. The chief army commander who had won the military success led an unarmed parade of his soldiers through the streets. And Paul picks up this illustration. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. See, Paul had faced a great many difficulties. As he shared the gospel, he encountered much that was against him. It made him and his team appear unimpressive. And yet, in fact, through it all, Jesus was leading Paul in what would ultimately be a successful mission. Paul, though under great pressure, knew that he had divine help to serve Christ and to make him known. Now, Paul speaks of his experience as one of the very few original foundation-laying apostles. And so we must be careful to recognise that his ministry was different from ours. But there are reminders here of the work that we're engaged in as we're seeking to share the apostolic gospel as a church community. And so what Paul speaks of himself can be instructive and valuable to us. So indeed, for us, things may not always seem to be easy. In fact, as a church community, sometimes they can seem hard. We may not always, in fact, maybe normally, don't see great success in what we do. And yet, God is at work as we share the good news. And so we must persevere in making Jesus known through our activities and through our prayers. So there is an ultimate success that Jesus will bring about. But also we see that we have an influence for Jesus and his good news. Paul continues his comparison, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Now, in these Roman triumphal processions, spices were burnt. They gave off a strong, sweet smell, which would have been sensed by those in the parade and those watching from the roadside. And Paul likens the message of the good news of Jesus that we have to offer to such a smell. Through us, God spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. So in a way, as we live and speak for Jesus, there is an influence that other people pick up. A smell may not be visible, but as we all know, it has an effect. Well, people, as it were, smell the good news as it's shared in words and illustrated in lives. And as this happens, a person is made known. The knowledge of the true God in Jesus Christ is spread. So our joining in the mission of Jesus in his world may at times seem very unimpressive and without much effect. So it is vital that we remember that as we share the good news in different ways amongst people of different ages and different backgrounds, the truth is sensed and will be recognised. We can, through him, have an influence that is easy to underestimate. But finally, I wonder if you noticed how Paul explains that in the triumphal procession that that he's talking about, the same smell is reacted to in different ways. Verse 15. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Now, as we saw last week, humanity can be divided into two camps. Those who are perishing and those who are being saved. Those who are perishing show in their lives that they have not received the benefits that God offers through his Son. As Jesus himself put it, such people are lost. On the other hand, there are those who are being saved. In God's undeserved goodness, such people are receiving the benefits of being rescued by God, his salvation. They are being drawn to recognize Jesus and to receive the gifts of forgiveness of sins and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And they are those who are looking forward to full salvation in the future, those who are being saved. Well, in the Roman triumphal procession, spice, incense, was burnt to the gods. It was part of the ceremonial. And perhaps that's why Paul puts it here when he speaks about the gospel procession of being the aroma of Christ to God, that is, to the true God. But in the Roman procession that he uses as his illustration, the same smell would have had different connotations depending on who you were. So, the victorious general at the front with his conquering soldiers not far behind him and the jubilant bystanders, they would have smelt the incense and it would have evoked to them the joy of success. They'd won. It was a tremendous victory. And yet also in the same procession, following behind the general and the victorious soldiers would have been bedraggled, defeated prisoners of war. To them, the scent of the incense would have been associated with a bad fate ahead of them, enforced slavery, or perhaps even death. Well, Paul makes clear that as the smell of incense in the triumphal procession was the same smell, and yet it provoked different responses, so the communication of the gospel message also has different effects. Even though it is the same message. Verse 15. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. To those who are perishing, those who fail to get it, the gospel message is a smell of death. It doesn't seem to make sense. It's, as we saw last week, apparently ridiculous. It's not accepted. The only means that God has provided to bring rescue is rejected. And yet, wonderfully, to those who are being saved, the same message, the same smell, so to speak, is a fragrance from life to life. It is so important that we remember this. It means that we should expect different responses to our gospel sharing. And when we get a negative response, we shall not automatically think that there's something wrong in the message itself and make the mistake that has sadly been quite common over many years, that is, changing the message that we think may suit people better. Instead, we must stick to the good news of Jesus and his death and resurrection, because the gospel is the only message that can bring life with God, beginning now and lasting forever. Well, we began recognizing that sometimes it's easy to underestimate the influence of ordinary people on others. And we've seen here in 2 Corinthians that we are an influence as we work together as a church community to make the gospel known, as we each play our part. It's important to remember that Jesus is leading us to ultimate success in his mission, though that may not seem obvious all the time. And when we engage in explaining and illustrating in our lives the significance of Jesus' death on the cross, his resurrection, his call to return to him and to receive the new relationship with him that he offers and his people, well, there will be different reactions to the same message. Sadly, tragically, some will find it the smell of death and not believe it. But to others, it will be the fragrance of life. Some will really hear the message, be persuaded of their need and its truth as the Holy Spirit works in their lives. They will find the message of the cross is not foolishness. Rather, it is God's power to save, and they will be brought to God through Jesus. So be encouraged. We are an influence for Jesus on others. And yet don't be surprised by different reactions. For the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you have done in Jesus. We thank you that we can celebrate that wonderful truth of his death on our behalf as we share communion in a few moments. And we thank you for the privilege of being involved together in helping others to grasp that message too. But we pray that you would encourage our hearts that we are an influence for you, no matter how weak and inadequate we feel. And also, that as we see that message go out, we should expect different responses. Help us not to be discouraged. Help us to be realistic. Help us to be full of confidence in you that your gospel message can bring life to others. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.